Our text this morning, if you want to turn in your Bibles, is going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. I titled this morning's message, Body, Soul, and Spirit. And I titled it that because I think as I started thinking about a new year, thinking about the various, as Kyle was talking about, these resolutions that we make before God, I started thinking about maybe what are the important things that we should be looking for as believers. 2017. What's the most important thing to me and to you? We read, in a sense, the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians. We can look at it as if we're closing out 2016 and we're entering into 2017, a new year. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 23. Look in your Bibles. Paul says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." Great words. When I think of those words, body, soul, and spirit, it's the complete work that God wants to do in us. God never does just partial things. He always does a complete work. You know, Philippians 1:6, the one that I always encourage you to memorize, being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to complete you. He's going to accomplish what he started. And he's going to finish it, and he's going to make you perfect when you stand before him someday. He's doing that work in your life. So I want you to think of all of 2016. Maybe some of the hardships that came your way, the unpleasant things, the areas that you fell short, the areas that, you know, you didn't do so well. Those are the areas when it comes to a new year, we're kind of happy about it. We're thinking, you know what, this is going to be a new opportunity for me. 2016 is gone. It's all behind me. I can't regain it. I can't change it. It's what it is. But 2017 might have some better things in store. That's what we would like to think, is that 2017 is going to be better than 16. But we need to be prepared. We don't know what this year is going to hold. We don't know that the Lord won't return today and take us to be with him. This may be our last day. But God, that I would serve you with everything within me, body, soul, and spirit. That's Paul's prayer for the church at Thessalonica, that they would be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This being sanctified is that God sets you apart for his use. Did you know that? That the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, he took you like a vessel and he set you aside and said, "I want to use this vessel to my glory. A special vessel. I want to set you aside for my purposes, and I want to use you." And in all of that, God is very gracious to us. He's very merciful to us. Because we see in ourselves so often that we fall short. Our mind really says we want to do so much more. We want to do this so much better. And then we find out that we don't do it the way we think we would like to. How many of you have heard that quote, another day, another dollar? We've all heard that, haven't we? But if we were to change the wording of that a little bit and we were to ask it this way, another year, another blank. And you can fill in that blank. Another year, another blank. What would you fill in for 2017? We often see the coming year as a year of opportunity because we want things to change. I think we all do, especially the things that are not good in us. And we're wanting God to do a work and a greater work. But it requires on our part that yielding to Him. You see, there's nothing faulty with God. He has all the desire to change you completely, to give you everything you need to live a life that is glorifying Him in all areas of life. But we get in the way, don't we? There's this flesh that we live in that gets in the way. And it keeps us from really glorifying God with our whole life at times. I started looking online and I found a bunch of worksheets. You know what a worksheet is? You know, where you sit down and you take this worksheet and you do some planning. And as I was looking at the various worksheets that people make up for New Year's resolutions, I found a few of them that were interesting. Maybe our New Year's, maybe some of us are not into that and we don't do that. And other people, we always sit down and think, what would I like to change for the new year? One of the worksheets that I found was, it read this way, this year, I really want to. If you were to say that, this year, I really want to, what would you fill in the blank? This year, I really need to. Or this year, I want to be better at. Or this year, I want to learn how. You know, how would you fill that in if you were to make that your New Year's resolution? I found another one. This might have been on my list. Join a gym. I've had this membership now since we've got in this building. I've been paying that $10 a month and haven't been but probably two times in the last, you know. And we do that, don't we? Join a gym. My plan is to be in there on Monday. But there's no confidence in that. I mean, I'm planning to be there. The second one on this list was find a new job. Some of you might be thinking of that way for 2017. How about paying off debt? How about just saving money or helping others? I mean, you could add and add to this list. The list could go on and on. You probably have your own. But there's another list I found that, and this one will make us all feel a little messed up. This is actually 20 things. It was a big list. I don't want to labor it, but it reads this way. This year I will focus on. How would you fill that in? This year I will try. This year I will begin. This year I will organize. This year I will be. This year I will go. This year I will read, I will do, I will commit, I will find, I will practice, I will give, I will help, I will make, I will learn, I will join, I will enjoy, I will remember. You know, the list just goes, I will forget. I will stop this year. I mean, if you went through each one of those 20 things and you looked at it and you filled in the blank, what would you say that you would like to see different in yourself? We probably could fill something in on each one of them. That's the bad thing about resolutions, is that it was asked of a child, what is a New Year's resolution? And the child says, it's what we do in the first week of the new year. That's it. And it's done. And then we don't fulfill what we said we were going to do. And it's frustrating. So I've kind of said, you know what? I'm not doing these New Year's resolutions. They're not for me. Wikipedia defines a New Year's resolution as a tradition in which a person resolves to change an undesired trait or behavior. That's how Wikipedia defines it. But it goes on in what it says there. It says, but it goes on to say that in 2007, that there was a study from the University of Bristol that involved 3,000 people that showed that 88% of those who set New Year's resolutions failed. 88% of the 3,000. Let me give you another list that will never fail you. You won't fail in this list because it involves God intervening into your life. And if you make this request before the Lord, if this is your New Year's resolution, you won't fail. God, change my heart. God, help me to glorify you with my life more than anything else. Jesus, make me more like you. Imagine if that was your New Year's resolution. If those were the three things that you wrote out on a piece of paper and then began to pray that God would work those things in you. Kind of scary, isn't it? That's, you know, it's easy, you know, hey, I'm going to go to the gym. No, I didn't do it, you know. But you say, Lord, make me more like you. Change my heart, Lord. Change my will. Those are big things. But you know what? If we pray those things with sincere hearts, you won't fail. Because God will begin to work in those areas that you're asking Him to work. And He will change you. He'll never fail in that. In God's design, how He made us as human beings, our just our makeup. He designed us really in three parts. It's in our text that I read in Thessalonians there. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, in the theological realm terms, it's called a trichotomy. A trichotomy is defined as the three-part division of the human being, which involves the physical. We all know that. We see that. But it also involves the emotional side of you. And it involves the spiritual side of you. That's the body, soul, and spirit that makes you up as a human being. You can see the picture up there, that trichotomy. Man, body, soul, and spirit. But both the soul and the spirit of man is unseen. You see, when you walk up to a mirror and you look into that mirror, you just see this body there. What you don't see is you don't see your soul and your spirit, do you? You just see the body. You see, the soul and the spirit are intangible, but they are also eternal. You see, the body that you see in the mirror, that's going to perish someday. That's going to go back to the dust. You'll have a new body in heaven, but this body is going to die someday. Or it's going to be translated someday. But the body in itself is subject to the spirit and the soul. You see, that's the communication center within you. That's what communicates to your physical body what it's going to do and not do, and what it's telling you to do and not do. You see, our bodies are designed to use and to be used in this life, here and now. That's the purpose that God gave us, these physical bodies. But someday we're going to die and it's going to be left behind. But the soul and the spirit goes on. It lives on. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:44, "It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body, and then there is a spiritual body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly house," this tent he refers to it as, "is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands that is eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our own habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." In other words, when you were born again and God's Holy Spirit came and dwelt and lived inside of you, that Holy Spirit that lives in you is the guarantee that when you die, that you're going to live with God. It's the guarantee that His Spirit, that same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, if it dwells in your body, He will also give life to your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. That's the body that God has given to us. But we also have the inner man. We have the body that will perish, but we have the inner man. And that's the part of you and I that really is the most important part. We get real consumed with the outward body at times, don't we? And sometimes we're less consumed with what's going on the inside. We've got that backwards. We should be more consumed with what's going on in the inside, the inner man. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 17, He said this to His disciples, "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" I think we all understand that, don't we? "But those things which proceed out of our mouth," Jesus goes on to say, "they come from our heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart," Jesus says, "proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. We can't get this wrong, church. Listen, we need to understand that the things that you do on the outward, your outside actions, they're really a result of what is going on inside of you. It's what's happening in the inner man that affects your outward living and the way that you live and the things that you do, even the ungodly things that you do or that I do. You see, the heart is the issue. And Jesus says that it's out of the heart that these things proceed. You see, the heart is the very center of your being. If you want to say it's the thing that makes you operate, your emotion, your intellect, your will, everything that makes you up as a human being. When you speak of the heart of a man, it's speaking of everything that makes you up. Here's the problem. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. And it's desperately wicked. And who can know it? It asks the question, who can know it? Let me ask you, do you know your heart? I say we don't really know our heart. But who does know your heart is God. God knows the very recesses of our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows how we click and what we do. He sees those things, those compromises, those sins, those things that we allow to be at the center of our heart. He sees those things. We just sit and wonder at times, why do I keep doing the things that I do? The things that are unpleasing to God. And really, it's because it's an issue of our heart. You see, the matter is we have to have a heart change. A change of heart. And that's only the work of God's Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can change us from the inside out. In Hebrews 4:13, we read, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." We stand naked before the God of heaven with whom we have to do. There's nothing hidden. We can hide it from one another. We can hide it from, you know, our spouses even. But there's really nothing at all that is hidden from God. He sees the inner man. He sees what's going on inside. I think that a better New Year's resolution might be, God, would you take control of my whole heart? Would you take control of all of me? My emotion, my intellect, my will. That would be a great New Year's resolution. Just that one. God, that I would have an undivided heart. You see, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Do you know that the word pure can also be translated, "Blessed are the undivided in heart"? So what does that mean? That means that a portion of my heart could be for things other than God. I could be living for myself and the things of the world with a portion of my heart. And then the other part of it is here at church or when I'm in Christian environments. But you see, the Lord wants our whole heart, and he wants it all the time. He's actually pretty stingy about that. He wants all of us, not a divided heart, but a whole heart. King David In Psalm 51:11, he said this. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That's a great prayer. Create in me a clean heart. Renew me. A steadfast spirit within me. To me, that's a broken man. That's somebody that's calling out to God for change. Change me, God. I want to give you my whole heart. In effect, God's Spirit is working through our spirit. God's Holy Spirit is working through our spirit. Remember your body, soul, and spirit? And God's Spirit is working through our spirit to repossess our soul. The soul is your mind. It's your thinking. It's your intellect. It's your reasoning. And God wants to, by His Holy Spirit, to take possession of your spirit and your soul and make it His, and let you be controlled by His Holy Spirit instead of by our inner man that wants to do what it wants to do. Have you ever found yourself being frustrated with the inability to stop some type of sin in your life? I think we probably all have. We have areas of our life that we want to see change in. And we've tried. We truly have. We've made every effort to try and change this thing around of how I am. And it seems like I can't. And we get frustrated with it. You see, God wants to do that work in us. The frustrating part is that you've been trying to change it. That's what's frustrating about it. Our part is to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. When we yield to Him, He has His way. If I set my course to try and change this in my life, or say no to this, or stop doing this, in my own strength, in my own effort, it's frustrating. And then we fail and we don't do that New Year's resolution. But when God starts something in you, He'll do it. We just simply need to yield. Our goal, our drive maybe for 2017 should be, God, transform my soul. Don't just clean up all my outward things, but transform me on the inside. Because see, if the inside is changed, if the inside is being transformed, the outside will follow. It just follows right along. It just does what's on the inside. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 something about being transformed. He says, "I beseech you," that's a word that means I beg you, Christians. "I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." I could paraphrase it this way. After all that God has done for us, what kind of people should we be? I should desire to give my life like a living sacrifice unto God. After all that He has done, I want to give my life like a living sacrifice to you. A holy sacrifice. An acceptable sacrifice to God, which is the most reasonable thing that I should do as a child of God. And then he goes on to say, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed By the renewing what? We know the verse, the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. How is that renewed? How does God have his way in you, in your mind? You need to spend time with God. You need to spend time in his word. You need to be praying and say, God, renew my mind. Change me on the inside. Make me a different person. Give me new thinking. That's what God wants to do. By the renewing of our mind, and then he goes on to say that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of you had some decisions in 2016 that you weren't quite sure which direction to go? You weren't sure what the answer to that was. You weren't sure even what the will of God was. What you should do or what you shouldn't do. What I've come to learn is that as my inner man is being transformed more into the image of Jesus Christ, my mind is being transformed through his word and God having his way in my heart and mind, that it becomes easier and easier for me to hear God's will. It becomes so much easier to discern what he wants for me or what he does not want for me. Instead of me sitting here wrestling, what does God want me to do? I know what he wants me to do. Why? Because your spirit, your soul is lining up with him. That's how God wants us to be. Did you know that every perfect decision that you make and every bad decision that you make in this life is affected by the renewing of your mind? That's why it's important. Every decision that we're going to make has to do with me being able to line up with what the will of God is. I want to know his will. He knows what's best for me. He knows what direction I should go or where I shouldn't go. We all like those perfect decisions. We like when we get it right. We like when we hear the voice of God and we go, you know what? The Lord just really confirmed to me that this is what he wants for me. This is his will for me. But we all know too well those bad decisions that we make. When we sit there and then we scratch our head and we think that we were doing what God told us to do. And it really was never his will to begin with. You see, we need to say, God, change me, mold me, make me more, make me think like you. So that it'll become easier and easier to hear his voice. As Christians, we have a future hope. It's still coming. That future hope is still ahead of us. It's still down the road from us. And the Bible speaks of only two ways that a person leaves this world. One way is through death, the death of this body. The other way that a person will leave or could leave this world is through the rapture. There's only two ways that you're going to leave this world. And it's at that moment that there's going to be a final transformation of your body. Body. Soul and spirit. You're going to be this new thing that God's created you to house you in. No more body of flesh, no more temptations. All things are going to be made new. Here's something exciting. When you get into heaven in your glorified body someday, you won't be making New Year's resolutions anymore. There won't be any New Year's resolutions in heaven. You'll be what? Complete. There won't be any of the wrestling that goes on inside right now. You know what kind of wrestling I'm talking about. The battle that rages between the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, right? And then your flesh that wants to do what it wants to do. You ever had that battle? How about every single day? For me, every single day, that battle rages. It'll never stop until you're in your glorified body in the presence of the Lord. And as it says in the book of Revelation, and there will be no more curse. All those things, it's gone. You're in eternity with the Lord. That's our future hope. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:16 that if we walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you do that? How do you walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh? You got to stay close to Jesus. In every part of your life, you need to make Him number one when you get out of bed every day. You need to spend time with Him. You need to hear from His Word. You need to pray and talk to the Lord. You need to say, God, fill me. I'm dependent upon your Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in every decision that I make today. I want to glorify you with my life. And Lord, I can't do it apart from you. That's walking in God's Spirit. I need to be full and overflowing of your Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That almost sounds like a promise. I like that. Paul says, for the flesh, it lusts against the Spirit. That Spirit is capital. The Spirit of God. The flesh, it lusts against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Oh, I wish that I could live this way or stop doing this. I wish that, you know, in my mind I could say all kinds of things that just sound really good. I wish that, you know, but then when the reality, you know, I got this flesh that just wants to do what it wants to do. We all contend with it. We're all in the same boat. It's not just some of you, it's all of us. But that day will come to an end where there will be no more wrestling like that. I think that the best New Year's resolution for 2017 should be those things that will not just affect the body. You know, like going to the gym and, you know, helping me, you know, start a savings account. And you know, all that whole list of things that were just, it's all things, just material things and things that have to do with the outward man. But what about the inward? You see, our text read that he wants to do a complete work, body, soul, and spirit. And why don't we make that part of our New Year's resolution? Why is it just, you know, the savings account and the going to the gym and, you know, all these things that are just, they won't last? We want to have Christian character. We should be different than other people in the world. By the sheer fact that you're a born-again Christian, you should be different. Our character should be different. People should see us as being different. And it's not glory to us, it's glory to God. But it's been said that good habits are not made on birthdays, nor Christian character at the new year. The workshop of character is everyday life. The uneventful and the commonplace hour is where the battle is lost or won. Everyday life. That's where your Christian character is being formed. Through all the hardships and all the difficulties that you went through in 2016, God was forming something in your character that you would not be the person you are today in 2017, except that you went through the difficulties that you went through. He's forming something in you. It's not just in the good times. It's through the difficult times that God is working. I like Jonathan Edwards. He was a revivalist preacher in the 1700s. This was his New Year's resolution. His first resolution was, I will live for God. That's it. I will live for God. His second resolution was, if no one else does, I still will. That was his New Year's resolution. It says, God, I just want to live for you. As I was reading in our text this morning, and we'll close with this, I really found in our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 a great New Year's resolution right in our text. We read in verse 16, rejoice always. Wow, New Year's resolution. Rejoice always. Number two, pray without ceasing. New Year's resolution. Number three, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Number four, do not quench the spirit. And number five, do not despise prophecies or the teaching or the hearing of the truth of God's word. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. And lastly, abstain from every form of evil. That makes a good New Year's resolution, doesn't it? Those things have to do with the inner man, not just the outward.
We hope you have enjoyed today's study. For more information on teachings, events, worship times, and location, please visit our website, ccfwinstonsalem.com. From Pastor Greg and all of us at Calvary Chapel Fellowship, thank you for listening and being part of our study through God's Word.